Dennis Minsky is author of Peculiar and Superior, A Year-Rounder in Provincetown. Welcome back, Dennis.
Well, thank you, Mindy. Nice to be back.
So this is a collection of essays that were featured in your column in the Provincetown Independent. I imagine there are many more that aren't in the book. So how did you choose which essays you wanted to include?
That's a complicated question with a complicated answer. I chose a whole bunch, and then other people chose from them.
Getting out in nature is inspiring, I think, to everyone, but you put that experience into words. So when you're out, and I know you get out every day, or you try to get out every day, do you think about an essay when you're out there walking with your dog, or are you just enjoying the moment?
I'd like to say I'm just enjoying the moment, but there is a little part of my brain that is always thinking, could this be an essay? Could that be an essay? I try to not harbor that thought, because I think being in the moment is more genuine and in the end, ultimately more productive. But yes, I have to admit that I do think about the column worthiness of a moment.
And do you, I know you get out and walk every day. Do you write every day?
Oh, if I only did. I trying to make that the norm, but everything in the world gets away. I have two grandchildren here right now for the week. I have a major land conservation project that we're working on here in town. I begin whale watching this week. And a few other things. But yes, I try to write every day.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, since you mentioned your grandchildren, I thought there's an essay, and I can't think of the name at the top of my head, where you're getting away from writing your column because you're holding the hand of one of them and you're out on a walk, and then you're holding the hand of another one out on a walk. And what a nice distraction.
As you know, grandchildren are the ultimate distractions, and they're the future. So very, very important.
Yeah. Provincetown is an interesting and special place, and you acknowledge that in some of what you write about, that Provincetown could also apply to Truro, Wellfleet, or Eastham, right?
Or Woods Hole.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. One of the things about the Cape, right? There's some people talk about, they come over the bridge, whether it's a Sagamore or Bourne, and it's almost like this, because all 15 of these towns are special places.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are so fortunate to be here. And really, this entire book is just trying to put that into words, just that.
So what is it that you think for you makes Provincetown so special, so much more so than the other towns?
Well, again, difficult to put into words, but just something, when I landed here at the age of 22, there was just something about it that just interdigitated with myself, and it just felt right. Every bit of it felt right. The crazy parts, the artistic parts, of course, the natural beauty. I don't know how many people in the world feel the same kind of synchrony with the place they live. I would wish everyone, I would hope everyone had that synchrony in their lives.
I think probably a lot.
I mean, New Yorkers love New York, and Bostoners love Boston, but, and then again, how many people today move around from place to place, especially younger people, don't have a fixed home. They'll go wherever the jobs are. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a unique, increasingly a unique perspective, and maybe 100 years from now, it'll be something that will be sort of a historical attitude more than the norm.
And then, you know, you say that young people moving around from job to job, you did the same thing. You moved around.
I did.
Yeah. So, but you came back.
I had to. Yeah. I had to, you know, to make a living, to raise a family. Yes, I had to, but my wife was born born in Hyannis. She's been a summer kid here all her life. And, you know, She's never been anywhere else ever. I had to miss a couple of summers out in California. I was, but yeah, it's been our home, forever.
Yeah.
Whether we were here or not, which is another important distinction. There are many, summer people, second homeowners that consider the Cape their home, even if they can't manage to live here right now. I know many of your listeners are in that category.
Yeah. So you're first, you have it separated into different chapters that sort of focus on different parts of Provincetown. And your first chapter are essays inspired by that sort of sense of place, but also history. There's obviously a lot of history in Provincetown.
Well, yeah, but I think Sandwich is older.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Cape is older than Provincetown, but sure, there's a lot of history here. And it needs to be acknowledged and investigated. I'm no expert on any of that, but I do know some experts. Lisa King, a friend of mine, is a great historian. David Dunlop, another one. You got Mark Adams for The Natural World.
Right.
And
So do you, when you look at a piece of history or a historical spot, as you're sort of, you know, enjoying that or that kind of looking at that in your mindful moment, do you then go, I need to find out more about this? And that's when you go talk to your friends who do know the history. And is that how it ends up in an essay? How do you put the history into your essays?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens, whether it's natural history or human history. I go to people who know more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly do that with whales, whale biology. This is my 30th year on the whale watch boat, but still, I'm a novice compared to some of the professionals that I hang around with.
Mm. Some of that rubs off, yeah.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope some of it rubs off.
Yeah, and just mentioned Stormy. Talk a little bit about some of the people-inspired essays. You know, you've got essays on Stormy, Joe Bones, Paul, and there's a whole slew of people that you write about. How do you determine those? Is it just these people inspiring? You think, oh, I got to tell their story, or how does that work?
Yeah, again, these are just people that are in some way larger than life, whatever that means. And that they somehow represent something about the Cape or Provincetown. I have an essay about Hilde Olson, who came here in her 80s and completely refashioned herself and had a new life and almost made it to 100. And I mean, she just stands for so many people who come here and begin a new life for themselves, redefine themselves. Mm-hmm. And so she stood for that. Nappy Van Derrick is a story of in his own, Nappy and Helen. Mm-hmm. Joe Bones was quite a character. And Paul Tasha, another wonderful guy, Stormy Mayo. I am a naturalist. I love nature. But I think people are the most interesting things. We just are very interesting. And I look for the person in every story. Even in my nature pieces, I hope there's some aspect of us in there. And I should say, I get that from Robert Finch, who certainly was my mentor in many ways. And he did that too, weaving the human and the natural history.
Right. Another essay that I got tickled by was just the, you know, Summer Invasion, the title. You think, okay, you know what this is going to be about, but turns out this is a good thing, this summer mm-hmm. invasion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Invaded by family, invaded by friends. And that's a Cape experience we all have.
Yeah.
And invaded by strangers, and like it or not, I mean, I no, not like it or not. We need those people to invade. We are so privileged to live somewhere where people want to come.
Tell us about the book title.
Well, I borrowed from Thoreau his book Cape Cod, where he said he didn't want to write about, and this was 1850. Actually, the book came out posthumously, 1862, but he visited the Cape on three separate occasions in the 1850s. He said he did not want to write about what the Cape had in common with the mainland, but what was peculiar and superior about the Cape, which is kind of funny, maybe archaic language, or maybe just Thoreau's weirdness of language, but just what was particular about the Cape. So that's what this book is about. What distinguishes the Cape from the rest of the world.
So I wonder if you would read one of your essays for us. I was thinking the Provincetown Identity.
Okay. I have always loved Provincetown. From my very first day here, well over 50 years ago, I knew I belonged. I remember a long ago conversation with the late cartoonist Howie Schneider. We were sitting at Ciro and Sal's bar. He asked me what I wanted to do with my life. I was 22, maybe 23. And I responded, I want to live in Provincetown. He pointed out correctly that that was not enough of a goal. And it turned out that my ambitions did force me to leave for a time to Boston, Florida, California, and New Jersey. But even as I pursued educational and career opportunities, I always felt like I was sacrificing something. It always felt like a diaspora, and I always knew I would return. Luckily, my wife, who was born on the Cape, felt the same way. The day I left to begin an exciting 5-year adventure in California, flying out of Provincetown Airport, I pressed my head hard against the little airplane window to keep every bit of the dunes and Race Point Beach in sight for as long as I could. And when it was no longer possible, I almost let out a sob. Years later, back on the East Coast, but here for summers only, there was palpable pain in leaving town at the end of each August. Our children cried, and so did I inside. All those other places I've lived, although having merits of their own, were not quite right. They did not fit me exactly. I identify with Provincetown. It is my affiliation. I feel fortunate to be an American, but I reject populism and nationalism, and given our terrible history, I do not believe in American exceptionalism. I am a straight white male, but I do not consciously choose my friends based on those criteria. The unconscious is too weighty a subject for this column or this columnist. I am vaguely Jewish, but long periods of time go by when this never even occurs to me. Less so with the current spike in anti-Semitism. I vote Democratic, but the party inspires me only in its contradistinction to Republicanism. It is not my identity. Provincetown is. I love the town for what it represents, for its differentness, its quirkiness, its openness, its history. I love its beauty, but also its humbler places. There is a triangle of space between Land's End Hardware and the building next door that reveals the harbor, a shard of beauty in a parking lot. I love Bradford Street as much as Commercial. I love the steep hill on Bradford by the Grace Hall parking lot that almost kills me every time I bike up it and may someday kill me on the way down. And the one up Winslow to the monument and the COA. I love town government and being involved in decisions that affect the town, even when they are difficult and frustrating. But it is mainly the people. There are people here who actually spend their days fishing, making art, or studying whales and coastal geology. We are certainly above the national average in all those categories. I feel bonded to the people who share this little space with me, whether I know them well or not. I feel especially bonded on these stark winter days when only the hardy and optionless remain. Yes, the people of Provincetown, the Portuguese, what's left of them, the Jamaicans, and the young Eastern and Central European workers, the drag queens. I love going to Stop and Shop. Hanging out in the produce aisle is a big part of my winter social life. These thoughts come to mind on a cold and blustery January day, walking the empty streets, past all the vacant houses and closed shops and restaurants. I marvel at just how many tones of gray there are, how many tinctures of blue. The silence is wonderful. We who stay the winter are a hardy lot. We don't blame those who get away. We try not to feel superior. We are like the herring gull, the survivors. That's Provincetown Identity.
The book is Peculiar and Superior, a Year-Rounder in Provincetown. And we'll have a link with more information about it at our website, capeandislands.org. Dennis Minsky, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you very much.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.